Okay. So, my name is Lily Larson. I am 14 years old, and today is Thursday, January 24th, 2019. The person I'm recording this with is my neighbor and a good family friend, and we are interviewing in Massachusetts, Bellingham, Massachusetts, and this is Amy Azza.
Hi.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna ask that we speak a little bit loud during this conversation because, of course, the iPads are just a little bit far away from you.
Okay.
Just want to make sure that everything gets recorded. And so, I guess my first question is that I know you were an intern at the White House.
Yes.
And what did you intern as? Like.
Sure. Yeah. So when I was a junior in college, I went to the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. We had the opportunity to do what's known as the DC semester. So instead of taking classes at Holy Cross, we took classes at Georgetown University, which was also in Washington, D.C. And I interned in the White House Office of Communications. So I specifically worked in the Office of Communications. So that is the office now that's manned by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. So I worked, it's awful, I don't even remember the name of the person. It was 22 years ago, almost 23 years ago now. But I worked for that office, and we handled a lot of the communications that go out from the White House, a lot of the daily briefings, things of that nature. And I loved working there. And one of the perks of being an intern is we got to eat in the White Hall mess hall, the White House mess hall. So we got to eat there, and sometimes you would see someone famous, you know, sitting there, like George Stephanopoulos. And another really cool thing is we got to attend the state dinners. So one of the things I got to attend was a state dinner where the President of France came.
Oh, wow.
So I loved working there. I could have also interned at the Supreme Court, which I really thought I would do because I knew I wanted to be a lawyer, but I had really loved politics, and President Clinton was the president then, so I really wanted to work at the White House. So that's why I chose a White House internship.
Yeah.
And one thing I would say about the White House is it's a lot smaller than you think. So it looks very big, and you think so many people work there, but they really don't. It's smaller on the inside than you think. And it's run just as you would run any business.
Was there a lot of security there at the time?
Yes, there's definitely a lot of security at the White House. Secret Service agents, hard to get in and out. You had to show your press badge or whatever, your ID, because you worked there. So, yes.
Did you have to be, like, fingerprinted?
Yes. Stuff like that? You had to get security clearance from the FBI.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Did I see all the FBI agents in, like, tuxes and, like, black glasses?
So, no, that's just for TV, I think. But in real life, no. They just, like, they look like normal men in a suit, so.
They have, like, the little, like, wiry earpiece?
Yeah, they do have those.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I wish I would have gotten to see the White House when we went to D.C., but it was closed because of the 2016 election, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool to see the White House.
Did you get, like, an office, or, like, do you have, like, a cubicle?
So, we just worked, I didn't get my own office, we just worked within the communications department. So, it's weird, it was so long ago they didn't have cubicles, but I just sat at a desk, I didn't have my office. But one really cool perk is I got to send birthday greetings from the president to anyone I wanted. So, to this day, I get a birthday greeting.
From the White House.
And you probably know that I'm perhaps not a fan of the current administration, but I do get a birthday greeting. So I've gotten two birthday greetings from President Trump in 2017 and 2018, and I have gotten them every year since I interned. That's from whoever's cool. President. And back then I could send them to my mother and my grandmother. It was really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So, like, you'd have a friend, you could send them, like, postcards.
Yes.
Mail from the White House. That's cool.
Yeah. And any mail you sent out from the White House, they would read. So my grandmother was so proud of me and loved that I worked there, so I would send her postcards. Or I would send her letters, but they had been opened, and she was a stickler for details, so she'd get it, and she'd say, Amy, someone opened my letter. Well, the White House security team opened the letter to see what it said.
Yeah.
And they also recorded all your phone conversations. So one time, a fellow intern was joking, and he said, oh, I'm going to blow up the White House, and he was actually arrested, because you can't say that, because it was being recorded.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting.
Oh, geez.
I
loved it. Did he get released later on, or did
I think he was, so he was arrested and they let him go, but he was fired from being an intern. And you weren't paid to be an intern. You weren't paid.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great experience. And I took classes at Georgetown, which I really loved. It was a much bigger school than Holy Cross, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I passed Georgetown. Did you like taking classes at Georgetown? Was it nice?
I did. It was very nice. So Georgetown, so Holy Cross is a Jesuit college. Georgetown, it's been so long. It might be Jesuit or maybe it's not Jesuit.
It's a Jesuit.
I think so. But
no,
it was
what
much,
is Jesuit?
Yes. Oh, what is Jesuit? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So Jesuit is, this is so bad, you would think I would know this. It's sort of like a form of Catholicism, so it's just a religious notation or denotation or something. Full disclosure, I'm not very religious. So even though I went to a Jesuit college.
You're not a Jesuit.
Okay, yeah. So it's just sort of a branch of Catholicism.
Well,
I guess it's a branch of Christianity because Catholicism is one branch, so Jesuit would be another branch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love Georgetown. It had a beautiful campus, and I thought it was really fun to take classes at another college. Back then, I thought I knew everything. I was 20 years old and full of life and pep, and so I was very different back then.
Mm-hmm. So, did you like your dorm rooms and stuff like that?
At Holy Cross?
Yeah. Oh, well, at Georgetown.
So this is what's interesting. So we did not live at Georgetown. So we actually lived in an apartment building in Arlington, Virginia, and we took the Metro to work. And then we took the Metro to Georgetown. So I did. It was because at Holy Cross, I always lived in a dorm room. So I really did enjoy living in an apartment. And I lived with three other students from Holy Cross. And it was really cool. We had our own apartment. And I shared a bedroom with one girl. And two other girls shared a room. And we each had our own bathroom. So instead of my mom's paying room and board for Holy Cross, she paid my portion of the apartment. It equaled about the same thing.
Yeah.
But I remember I needed, because it was funny, so I did not want to, I needed money. So my grandmother would send me spending money, but it was never enough because D.C. is a lot more expensive to live
in
than Massachusetts. So I got a job working at Whole Foods. So even back then they had Whole Foods. And I worked there for extra money.
Did you buy food from Whole Foods?
I did.
Was it good food?
It was. I was so different back then. I was, just such a different person. But yes, I did buy food, and I was still the same as I am now. I didn't party, I didn't drink, so my roommates would go out to all the bars on the weekend, and I'd stay home. I didn't have a fake ID. I hope that's okay to say. So I was just always very good. I just kind of stayed home, watched TV type deal. Kind of like I am now, so maybe I'm not so different. I'm the same, Lily. I'm not different.
Yeah.
But I really liked working at Whole Foods, yes.
Yeah.
And then I had spending money, so it was good.
So... did you have a favorite restaurant in D.C. that you love to go to?
Oh my goodness, I don't remember because it's been so long. It's been about 22 years, 23 years. I probably did, but I don't remember what it was. But I love all food.
Yeah.
So probably Italian, but I don't remember what it was.
Did you have like a coffee shop or something that you went to?
Funny is back then was probably the height of the Friends craze. You know, that TV show where they... But I don't think I did. I don't think... Back then, Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks was not as big a deal as it was today. But as you probably know, I go to Starbucks every single day and spend about $15 on stuff I don't need. Not coffee, because I don't drink coffee, but iced tea, protein bistro boxes, etc.
Yeah.
But back then, I don't think so. I don't think it had those. I'm sure it had them, but it wasn't as popular.
Mm. Yeah. Back to the whole White House deal and stuff that, does the White House, serve good food? Because I know, I know they have really good chefs there. Or at least they do for the president, so.
I loved the White House food. I don't think we had the same chef as the president. I think the president has a private chef.
Yeah.
So we just had the White House chefs that worked in the mess hall, but I did like the White House food.
Oh, awesome.
I did, yeah. They had really good cookies.
Oh.
Because I love cookies, so I remember their cookies.
Did they serve them warm?
Yes. Yeah, it was good. It was good food there.
Warm cookies are the best. They serve warm cookies at my school every once in a while if you get there early enough.
Yes. And President Clinton knew my name, which I thought was so cool back then. He is the consummate politician. So he would meet you once and remember your name forever.
Oh, wow.
So one of my first days there, one of his aides introduced me. And I never said one intelligent thing because he'd say, "Hi, Amy, how are you? I'm President Clinton." And I would just say, hi, President. And I was tongue-tied. And then... I said, someone told him I went to Holy Cross, and he said, "Oh, my wife went to Wellesley," and I said, I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
So somehow we got talking about dogs, and at that time, so my ex-husband Dave and I were dating, and he had a dog named Grover, so somehow I mentioned Grover. So then a month later, I saw the president, in the hall, and he came up to me and said, "Hi, Amy, how are you? How's your dog, Grover?" And I thought that was so cool. So I told, of course, my ex-husband. At that time, Dave and I were just dating. We weren't engaged. And so we thought that was cool that he knew the dog.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is really awesome.
Yeah, so he was a consummate politician.
So, in your opinion, how many times did you get to see Bill Clinton? Was it just like one or two?
So, one-on-one, the times I saw him one-on-one were twice. The times overall I saw him were quite a bit because we could go to different speeches he gave. So I probably saw him in large groups about once a week.
Oh, wow.
But one-on-one, I only saw him those two times.
And then how long was your internship there?
So my internship was from January to May, so it was the semester.
Oh, okay.
So second semester of my junior year. And then I stayed in, I ended up, it's so hard to remember. I think that I stayed in Washington, D.C. that summer, but that was hard because my mother and grandmother still had to pay my rent for an extra 3 months. But I stayed in Washington, D.C., and I took a couple other courses in Georgetown. And that's all I did, and I continued to work at Whole Foods.
So and were you ever overloaded working as your internship, going to college, taking your classes, and Whole Foods?
No, I've always been very good at multitasking. I love to be busy, so I never felt overloaded. In the summer, I felt bored, because in the summer, I didn't work. I just took two classes and worked at Whole Foods. And I wasn't really one to go out on the weekends. I wasn't a big, I still, like now, I really don't drink or don't go out to parties, so I really sometimes was bored in the summer.
You sit home and watch Packers game?
Patriots, always Patriots, sorry. Always Patriots, who are still playing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the Super Bowl, make sure you tell your dad. If I see him, I'm going to remind him.
Uh-huh. It was kind of funny because he made a joke about how he's like, I can hear Amy screaming from
yes.
down the street.
He probably could have. I was quite excited.
Yeah. So, what made you decide that you wanted to be a lawyer?
So I've always wanted to be a lawyer. And my dad was a lawyer, so growing up, I'd go down to the basement and all his law books were there.
Okay.
And I like to argue and I always like to be right. So I thought that lawyers argued and could be right. But I also loved challenges and I love to win. To this day, I'm the same. I'm a very competitive person. I like to win. So I don't lose court cases. I always win them. But I think what attracted me to the law was I like to help people and I thought that I could help people as a lawyer and use my brain to help them. And I thought that I was someone that could argue well, had well thought out thoughts, could reason, and would like to do well in court. And I always loved public speaking and interviewing. So I thought I could do that as a lawyer too. So that's why I chose law.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So I guess that was kind of a legacy that your dad kind of passed down to you a little bit, right?
Well, the funny thing about my dad is that he actually never practiced law, so he had a law degree. So I have an older sister, so when I was born, he was actually still going to law school, and then he just kept his law books. But he is not like me. He is very kind and gentle and not loud, and so he did not like being a lawyer. So he had a law degree and a PhD, and he used his PhD and now is a psychiatrist, and so he spent his career as a psychologist or psychiatrist. Very interesting.
So since your dad was a psychiatrist, did you always feel like you could go to him and talk to him about things?
It's interesting because my mother was also a psychiatrist. That's how they met in school. I always felt that I could go to both of my parents, and they were very supportive, but I've always been someone that likes to solve problems on their own. So I usually never went to my parents with anything, and I don't like people to worry, so I would never go to them, but especially my mother was always there for me, so I knew I could talk to her. And I think my dad was just a typical dad, so I could talk to him, but I'd be much more likely to go to my mother.
Yeah. And what about your sister? Did you have a good relationship with your sister?
Unfortunately, I don't have a good relationship. We are estranged, so we don't speak.
Oh.
But that's okay.
Do you want to elaborate on what happened?
Sure, we're just very different people. We're only 17 months apart. She's older, so we just were always at odds, I guess. We never got along. And as we grew up, we just sort of drifted apart. And she's just not really a part of my life. We're just very different people. Very different. I've always been you know, one job, one boyfriend, all that, and she's changes jobs and boyfriends monthly, which is just very different personalities. And as you know, my mother passed away, so, and my parents are divorced, so once my mother passed away, there's really no reason for her and I to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wish her well. She's just not part of my life or my children's life.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish her well. I'm very close. So she is my biological sister. We have the same parents.
Yeah.
But my parents divorced and my dad adopted 3 kids from India.
Oh.
With his second marriage. And I'm very close to them, and specifically my sister, Savita. She is my half-sister, but we don't really, I just say sister. We don't really say half-sister.
Yeah.
We have the same father, but a different mother. But I'm very close with her, and she's a lot younger than me. She's only 28, I think, or 29.
Yeah.
But she is really a good person.
So who do you say you are more close with, your mom or your dad?
Definitely my mother, because I lived with my mother because my parents got divorced. So
mm-hmm.
When I was 8, my parents got divorced, so then my dad moved out. So definitely much closer to my mother. But since my mother passed, I don't want to say reconnected, because my father and I were always, he was always involved in my life, but I have connected with him on a different level since my mother passed. And my father is a wonderful grandfather to Emily and Savannah. They call him Papa. They love Papa. So he's a great grandfather.
Yeah.
But my mother was just the best. She was my best friend, and I'm so much like her, and so I miss her, but I was very close with her.
Yeah. She sounds like she was a wonderful woman.
She was.
And I've heard Emily talk about her papa.
She loves her papa. She goes to stay with her papa, yes.
Yeah. And so I know when you were younger, you were in a pageant, right?
Yes. I was in the Junior Miss pageant.
Yeah.
And that's the program I run now.
Really? Oh, what's your
yes.
seat in that?
So I am the chairwoman of the Franklin Distinguished Young Woman Program in Franklin, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is it's really evolved. It's not really a pageant anymore, but it's a scholarship program for high school juniors. So when you are a junior, I would definitely ask you to be in it. So 3 years away, because as you know, Emily will never be in it. That's okay, though. So what it is we focus on 5 areas of being your best self, and they are be healthy, be involved, be ambitious, be studious. Oh, my goodness. Healthy, involved, studious, ambitious, responsible. I had to remember it. So I remember it by HISAR, mnemonic device. Healthy, involved, studious, ambitious, responsible. So we focus on those areas, and specifically we focus on interviewing, public speaking skills, fitness, talent, and scholastics. So we focus on those 5 areas. I love the program. I wish it was my full-time job. So this year I have 13 young women in my program. We've just started it last month, and they're amazing young women, and they're already just learning so much. So it's just really fun. I love that program.
So do you teach them like certain classes and stuff like that?
I do teach them. So in high school, I was in that program, and I was second runner-up, and I won interview and scholastics.
Oh, wow.
So that's very much me. I've always done well in school and done well in interview. And I probably would have won, but I had a very low fitness score. So what I teach them, it's not classes per se, but we meet once a week, and then I have private one-on-one time, and I actually do the opposite. So I actually prep them on how to interview well. So I'm not used to being interviewed. I'm used to being the one interviewing people or giving tips. It's funny.
Yeah.
So I would say we meet one-on-one, and I definitely help them with, I try to help them with self-confidence, because I feel like teenagers today, it's just such a hard world, and there's a lot of mean people. So I try to focus on
them.
Who
needs self-confidence when you can text them through a phone, right?
Yeah, there's too much focus and emphasis on social media, and there should be more face-to-face communication.
Yeah.
So our program is always about empowering each other, building each other up. Everyone is very good. You make awesome friends. No one's competitive with each other. Everyone is really happy when someone else does well. So I absolutely love my program. It's one of my favorite. It's definitely the highlight of my week, seeing all the girls. And I've gotten so much out of it, and they've taught me so much more than I could ever teach them. And every year we all bond, and it's just a wonderful experience.
So you do that weekly then, right?
I do that weekly, yes.
What days do you do that on?
That's on Fridays and also Sundays, so it's busy.
And Sundays, yeah.
Yes, so we do it twice a week. Because this year I have 13 girls, and not all 13 can meet Fridays.
Mm.
So I call it the stragglers, they can meet Sundays.
Yeah.
But this Sunday we're not meeting because it's Savannah's birthday. So not every, it depends. I'm very good, but like Savannah's birthday and birthday party is Sunday, I can't meet. Last Sunday we couldn't meet because of the weather. A week from Friday, I can't meet because I'm having a Mary Kay party at my house. So you know, just for those reasons.
Mary Kay is makeup, right?
Yes.
I think my mom has a palette from there, I think.
Yes, I invited your mom, and you're welcome to come, too.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But I just didn't know if you had horsing that night.
Wait, what night was it? Sunday?
Friday, February 1st. So not this Friday, but a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
My friend, one of my friends is a Mary Kay representative, and she asked me to host a party for her because she's trying to win a contest.
Oh.
She's trying to win a cruise. So she asked if I'd be willing to host a party, so I said yes. Because the more parties she hosts, the higher her odds are of winning a cruise.
Oh, yeah.
So I always am the type of person that I always like to help out my friends. And I'm always there for my friends, and I love my friends.
You guys see if she can give you a ticket?
Oh, well, but I would say no. I mean, I hope that she wins her cruise. But my friend, I've known her for years, and so for my program, we have to fundraise, and she always buys raffle tickets for me. But I'm the type of person, because I never was very close to my sister growing up, my girlfriends are like my family. So I love my friends, and I would do anything for them, and that's exactly how your mom is, too. So that's why we get along. So I believe in loyalty and friendship.
Yeah. That's always good quality.
Those are good qualities to have, yes.
Yes. And then, wait, I'm going to see. I need to check out my questions real quick.
I'm speaking loud enough.
Oh, you are perfectly fine.
Okay.
So how do you think your life would have changed if you would have gotten a job at the White House?
Well, my life would be very different. I probably would be living in Washington, D.C. I probably wouldn't know Doug. So I wouldn't be with Doug, and then I wouldn't have Savannah, I guess. I probably would have Emily still because I was dating Dave, my first husband. So I would, but I think it would be a very different life. I probably would be a lot more stressed out, I think. And also, usually with the White House, your job only lasts as long as the administration lasts. So if I had gotten a job, say I graduated from college and went to work for the Bill Clinton White House, I don't know that I'd still be there now because he was only in 2 terms as president.
Yeah.
So he was only president until 2000, and then George Bush was president. So being that my affiliation was Democrat, I doubt that I would have stayed on at the Bush White House. But I probably would have gotten another job in D.C.
Yeah.
I probably would live a very different life in D.C. than I do here. Much more, I would say much more city-like in D.C. than the suburbs of Bellingham. I don't know that I would have taken a job in D.C. because I wouldn't have wanted to leave my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's how it would be different. Very different. It would be very different. That's a good question. It would
be a little bit of an adventure, though, right?
It would be an adventure. It would be. And I probably would be a very different person. And but no, actually, because like I said, I am just me, so I've always been who I am, so it's hard to change yourself. But yeah, it would be different. I would have a very different pace of life. But I think it would be kind of exciting to live in D.C. too. I think it would be exciting to live there and to work for the government or something.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely sounds cool. It's not a job that everybody gets to have, so it's interesting. It's interesting that, like, that you did get an internship for the White House, and you were able to meet Bill Clinton.
Yes.
And talk with him on a personal level. Like, there 1 million people get to do that. That's pretty cool.
It was really cool.
And, so, let's see. Like, did you ever get to, like, swim in the White House pool or something like that? Because I know they have a pool at the White House.
So that's so interesting. I did not, but when I was there, it would have been the winter because I was there from January to May.
Oh, yeah.
So I never got to swim in the pool.
Did, who else famous did you ever get to see?
So, obviously, Bill and Hillary Clinton were probably the two most famous people I ever met. I did meet Monica Lewinsky, but at that time, she was not infamous. I interned at the same time as her, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. Cool. Yeah. But at that time, of course, you know, none of this was public. So I would say Ron Brown was another person. He was the Secretary of Labor. And different senators. I met Senator Ted Kennedy. It's just been so long that I forget. So I probably would say that I met famous, probably politicians and lawyers and senators. But it's been so long that I don't remember all of their names.
Yeah. So, like, back to, like, current times.
Yes.
Do you think that your White House internship and your study at law at Holy Cross made a huge impact on the work that you do today?
I think it did, because I think working at the White House, I loved it, and I loved politics, but it made me realize that I was probably more interested in studying law than going into politics.
Yeah.
So I think that's how it affected me. And I just felt that Washington, D.C. was very cutthroat, and I wanted to do well, but not at the expense of other people, and I've never really been a cutthroat person. So
Even though they call you the hammer?
Yes, even though they call me the hammer. Well, that's because I've never lost a court case.
Yeah.
But I would say, too, one of my favorite sayings is, I never start a fight, but I'll finish it. So I'm very non-confrontational, but I get my point across, and I will fight. I will be a zealous advocate for my clients. So that's what I mean by being the hammer. But I do that by presenting the best argument and showing the weaknesses in my opponent's argument. But I don't do it by personal attacks or being cutthroat. And I guess I felt that Washington was a little too petty for me. It was too much personal attacks, too cutthroat. Even my roommates, we'd all been friends at Holy Cross. But I even saw what it did to them, and they became different people. And I didn't like that, and I think I was concerned if I stayed in Washington that I would become that way.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, out of the four of us, I was the only roommate that stayed for the summer, so then my poor mother and grandmother had to pay the entire rent because I didn't want to move. So I don't even remember what the rent was, but I was only paying a fourth of it. So for June, July, and August, they had to pay the whole rent, but they did it for me. But then I loved it because I had my very own apartment. Dave and Grover came down to visit me because we were dating then. It was fun.
Yeah.
That was good.
And so, like, do you have any very interesting law stories that any cases that really stand out to you that you've taken?
Well, I mean, yes, but so it depends on the type of law that you do. So I don't do criminal law. So the cases you hear in the news are all about criminal law. So cases that stand out to me are just different victories I've had in the courtroom. So I don't know. I don't have any, like, ones that would probably be of interest to everybody. But
do you have any ones that, like, you're proud of that you think that you did?
Sure. I think I did a good job. I'm proud of all of them. And I think I did a good job on all of them. But definitely somewhere I represented the bank and we were foreclosing and the borrower didn't pay the mortgage for 5 years and tried to make up lies about the bank, and I was able to crush them and represent the bank's interest. I like to crush people in court. That's probably another reason why they call me the hammer. But I do it in a way that is just their arguments. It's never personal. Yesterday I went to court and I got to crush this guy, and he had been lying to me for months and promising money, and I just laid my argument before the judge, and then I just said, Your Honor, he's not making payments. Every time I come to court, it's costing my client more money. He keeps making false promises. Enough is enough. I'd like him thrown in jail. Because I have a feeling if he spent 20 days in the House of Corrections, he'd suddenly find his lost money. And the judge sentenced him to 20 days in the House of Corrections. And sure enough, this was yesterday at 9:30 in Milford District Court. Sure enough, by 5 p.m., he miraculously had all the money he owed us.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't want to be in jail. And that's why they call me the hammer, because I won't back down. So that was an example. And just things along that line, when you know someone's being dishonest and you know that you can fight for justice. I love fighting for justice. So
I guess that's what makes you such a good lawyer, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Have you ever had a client, though, who... or, like, have you ever gone up against someone who might have been, like, a little off his rocker?
Yes. There's this lawyer in Boston called David Baker. And I just think he's nuts. And, yeah, he would stare off into space and mutter to himself. And,
oh, wow.
But what I do is I just focus on my argument. So rather than focusing on opposing counsel, I focus on their case. And a very effective tactic as an attorney is you focus on your strengths, but you also focus on your opponent's weaknesses. And if you can point out your weaknesses, if you can point out your opponent's weaknesses before they can, it's a very effective technique
yeah.
in front of the judge. And another effective technique is you have to, so they always say that the best offense is a good defense. So for me, when I'm presenting an argument, normally I'm the plaintiff, normally I'm the one suing people, so I go first. So I like to anticipate what the defendant is going to say. So I try to anticipate his argument and point out why it's flawed, and that deflates him a little bit. So it's much more effective if you do that on your own than wait for him to point out any flaws in your argument.
Yeah. And so you have to be pretty quick-witted to be a lawyer, right?
You do. You have to think fast on your feet.
So then, do you have a lot of work that you do on the side, like for research and stuff like that, or do you have somebody that helps you with that?
I have somebody that helps me with research. When I was a young lawyer, first starting out, I had to do my own research. One of the benefits about being a senior attorney, I've been an attorney for 18 years, is that I have a law clerk that does research for me.
Oh, wow. That's
but cool. I always enjoyed research because it's like solving a puzzle. It's like puzzle solving. But I don't have to do my own research now. But I'm so type A that I always double check it.
Yeah. It's always good to double check it, then go on the courtroom and find, oh my God, there's an error in this.
Because my concern is it's hard for me to 100% trust because I'm so anal. So what if my law clerk told me something was case law and she was incorrect and I presented it that way to the judge? I made that mistake when I was a young lawyer and someone else did a brief. Part of what you do as a lawyer is what's called a brief. So it's just presenting arguments in case law. So I had a male law. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a male. Females could have done this. But anyways, I was in a rush. I didn't double check. And every case he gave me had been overturned. So I looked like a complete idiot. So that was a good lesson for me.
Mm-hmm. And then you went through and checked all of it next
then
time.
And then I had to submit an amended brief because he had just not shepherdized his cases. So shepherdizing your cases just means do you look to see if they're overturned.
Mm.
And he hadn't looked.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, have you ever found, like, another lawyer besides that guy who, like, didn't do his research and, like, kind of made a fool of himself?
Yeah. There's a lot of lawyers that do that. There's a lot of lawyers that don't pay attention. They try to cut corners, and they look foolish. It happens a lot. And I'm going to be honest, it's mostly the male lawyers. It really is. I think, in general, I don't see female attorneys doing that.
Have you ever met another lawyer who's like overly pompous and full of himself?
Yes, both male and female, yes.
And like what do they say to you?
Well, it's more, especially being a woman, a lot of people will talk down to you, and I always say don't mistake kindness for weakness because I'm a very kind person, but I'm not weak.
Yeah.
So it's almost better that they talk down to you and then you go present your argument and crush them. So yes, that happens to me. Normally it's that they talk down to you. They think they can't be wrong. My current boss thinks he's the best lawyer ever and every other lawyer knows nothing and is incompetent. So it's not the case.
Yeah. So like, then did you end up proving yourself to them?
Yes. Yes, I always end up proving myself. It's wonderful when it's so much fun when someone underestimates you and you can prove them wrong.
That is fun.
It is fun.
It is awesome. You can do that.
Like last year, Emily's, a couple of her teachers said she couldn't do all honors. She wouldn't do well. She got all A's. And that's how you prove them wrong.
Yeah. That is cool.
It is, yes.
And good for her, too.
Good for her. And she's getting all A's this term, too. So she's very smart.
We all already knew that Emily could do it. You gotta just get her.
I know. She's, yes. He's cute.
He is cute. He's like, I want to be part of this interview, too.
You want to be part of it, Chip.
You want to be part of it. For whoever is going to listen to this interview, Chip is my dog. Okay, you need to go. You can't be part of this.
He loves you. He wags his tail at you.
He does. He sleeps with me now.
Aww.
Yeah, he's a cutie. But he's a snuggle bug. So if you could say one thing to any person who wants to be a lawyer, what would you tell them?
So I think what I would tell them is that something actually that I read is by Aristotle, and it says, law is reason free from passion. So I think being a lawyer is a noble career, but it's a lot of hours. It's not for the faint of heart, and there's probably an easier way to make a living. But it's also fun. You have to be quick. You have to think on your feet. You have to love to read because there's a lot of reading, a lot of writing. You have to love to research, especially in the beginning. But also you can't be afraid of confrontations because law in general pits two parties against each other. So the whole premise of being a lawyer is adversarial. So you have to be ready to go at it and not be afraid of confrontation. And so I would say for me, I love that. I love confrontation at work, in the courtroom, but in my personal life, I hate confrontation because I deal with it so much at work.
Oh, yeah. So then, like, by the time you get home, like, you just don't want to have to deal with it anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, I know you guys get a ton of paperwork because I have seen your guys' office.
Yes, that's Doug. Oh, God.
Yeah, because he gets more paperwork because he's the defendant, right?
Yes, he represents more defendants than me. But also, I have a paperless office.
Yeah.
Everything's done on the computer, so that's why I have less paperwork.
That's nice, though, because you can search it up. Nice. Have you ever run into, like, losing a document here and there?
I have not. Knock on wood. Yeah. I have not lost one yet. Sure Doug has.
Oh. He does have a ton of papers.
He does. So I'm sure it's just in that mess.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he has.
So does he pull up, like, files and logs and stuff from, like, the city council?
He does, yes. He pulls up everything from his computer as well.
Yeah. Because, like, I was going to say, I'm like, I don't think he wrote all that. Because that's a lot to write.
No, he has different samples and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I know I've come into your guys' house one time and Doug was working on a case and the entire dining room table is just filled with papers.
Oh, it's awful, Lily. It's awful. It still is. He's taken over every surface. Dining room table, kitchen table, hallway table.
You almost just need to give him, like, a giant banquet hall.
I do. I need to win the lottery and buy a mansion so he can live in the guest house. Or at least put all his junk in the guest house.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
So, do you have any other goals when it comes to your career and being a lawyer?
I'm very goal-oriented, so I do. But I think that this year my goal is to get a different job because the job I have now is just not the right fit for me and my personality.
Yeah.
So I've been working on that. But I would say that I just want to do well. I always want to be able to have a good job with the ability to rise up the ranks, so to speak, and with good pay and good benefits. But I would say now that I'm in my 40s, my career, although still important to me and I'm still ambitious and driven, takes a back seat to my family. I'm much more concerned with being around for Emily and Savannah. Mm-hmm. So that's where my focus is, less so on my career now.
Yeah. And wanting to get a different job, I'm guessing that has a little bit to do with your boss and stuff like that?
Yes. The people I work for, it's funny, they'll never hear this, but of course I think of it. They're very archaic. They have no technology, and it makes it very difficult to work there. And we just have very different personalities. And I'm used to working at a big firm with big benefits and corporate structure. And this firm is just very small, and it's not really for me.
Yeah. So you want to work in something larger with, like, more opportunities to make friends and to have more opportunities to avoid the people that you don't like.
Right. And I would say not so much to make friends. So when you get into the work world, you don't really care. It's not like being in school where you care about making friends, but I would do much better in a bigger environment where everyone is not just in your face or in your business or, you know.
Yeah. So, do you have a few work friends, though, that you hang out with?
I do have a few work friends, but I think it's very different. So some of my friends that I'm friends with, they have a ton of good work friends. So I do have some work friends, but I don't really have friends from work that I'd hang out after work with. Sometimes I have friends that I go to lunch with. I have lunch with your mom usually.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Not usually, but, you know, we have lunch. But I would say that I don't really have work friends that I would socialize with.
Yeah. So, did you have friends, like, I know I'm kind of rebounding back to the White House thing, but did you have friends at your internship at the White House?
Yes, because I was so young. I was in college then. So I always, in college and law school, I always had friends at school, at any job I did. As you get older, your friends are more your neighbors or people that you see at your daughter's schools.
Yeah.
And I don't know so much about work. A lot of people my age don't have a lot of work friends. Like, I don't know, does your dad have work friends that he socializes with?
Yeah.
He does. See, so maybe I'm the exception.
Yeah, maybe. But I know that my dad's kind of like, my dad's just a nerd.
That's okay.
Yeah, he has work friends, but most of the time they're, like, people that work for him. So, I mean, he has friends, like my mom's friend, Christina, whose husband also works at Dell EMC, in which my dad talks to. But, I mean, they work on opposite ends of the building. And to your point, like, he doesn't see him all the time. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that does make it kind of hard to make friends and stuff like that. And do you find that, like, one of the things that makes it hard to talk with your friends and stuff like that at make work friends is that you, like you said, after work you don't really want to fight anymore, or you don't want confrontations after?
Yeah, I think it's part of that. Until this job I took last year, I was always the boss.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're the boss, it's hard to have friends. I would say it's just more my personality that I like to leave work at work and have home home.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't cross mix, so I wouldn't really hang out with work people. But during the workday, I would. I, you know, particularly at my old job, I'd have lunch with them or we'd go get a drink after work. But I would, of course, because I have no problem with drinking. I just don't personally drink. So I would get a Diet Coke and stuff. But it was always, like, related to work. We wouldn't really hang out outside of work.
And then, do you have, like, a role model in your law career?
That's interesting. A role model. I don't think that I do have a role model. I'm my own role model. I probably should have a role model. Maybe Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I like the way she conducted herself. I'm dying to see the movie that's out about her.
Yeah.
But I would say her, not that I want to be a Supreme Court justice, but just the way she always conducted herself. But I just try to do the best job I can, take my job very seriously. But at the end of the day, I'm a mom first and a partner to Doug first. So that's always going to be more important.
Yeah. And, let's see. So, gotta love the awkward silence in interviews.
That's okay.
So, like, do you like your workspace? Like, how do you keep your workspace?
So, I actually like my workspace, and I like the people that I work with. I just think the type of law I'm doing in the office is not conducive to my personality. I'm a neat freak, so my workspace is very clean and neat. I Lysol it every single day, and I have a desk calendar, a wall calendar, and it's just very neat. So I do like my workspace.
Yeah.
I have my own office.
And then, I was gonna ask a question. Of course, I forgot it. Seriously, like, you gotta hate it when, like, you forget something right when you're about to say it. Have you ever done that in a courtroom? Like, you're about to say something, you forgot what you're gonna say.
Sometimes, but then I'll just refer back to my notes.
Oh, yeah. And, like, do you take really detailed notes and stuff like that?
Yeah, normally when I go, I have a motion and I make notes in the margins or wherever I need to see it. But usually I'm very prepared. I am someone that over-prepares for everything.
Mm-hmm. And then, besides loving to, like, squash your opponents in, like, a kind and more respectful way, then what else do you love about being a lawyer?
I love that I fight. I really love that I fight for justice. I love when the good guy wins.
Yeah.
And I love making people happy, and I like getting good outcomes for my clients.
Yeah.
And I like the prestige that goes along with being a lawyer and the paycheck.
Yeah.
I'm being very honest.
It is a good job, and I know it does pay well, which is
good.
Happy. Yeah. So we're at the end of our interview time. It went fast. But so I just wanted to say thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
That was awesome. And I guess I can say I have a new role model.
Oh, that's so kind, Lily.
Yeah.
I think that more people your age should be like you.
Thank you.
I think you're awesome. You should be so proud of yourself and all that you accomplish and all you're going to accomplish, because you're only 14. The sky's the limit for you. So just always believe in yourself and always know that you have in you what it takes to be great. So always go for that. Never settle for second best. Always make your mark.
Thank you, Amy.
This is what I teach in my program.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You still have 3 years to go, but
yeah,
this was so fun.
Yeah.
Hello to the Library of Congress.
Thank you so much.
You're so
for doing
welcome.
This. Yeah. I'm gonna stop this. And then
that was